So welcome to this episode of the Leadersmith podcast. I'm here with Chad Zook. He's a pastor, speaker, podcaster, basically anything where he can minister to men. And you're going to be impressed by what you hear. Stay tuned.
In a world of incompetent bosses, micromanagers, and petty tyrants, one management professor claims that he can help you become the kind of leader that you would want to follow. You are listening to The Leadersmith. Now, here is your host, Darren Gurdis.
Okay, so I'm here with Chad Zook, and Chad is, we just kind of cross paths because we're in overlapping kinds of, with what we do in podcasting. He speaks specifically to men, and I'm trying to speak to leadership issues, and while I'm broad in leadership, he's broad in anything relating to men. And we just kind of found each other here along the way. And I've listened to his podcast. It's well worth listening to. I can highly recommend it. Chad, welcome to the show.
Hey, great to be on and really looking forward to our conversation today.
Yeah. So I want to understand how you see leadership, because you're going to have a unique perspective. You're going to have a perspective that has been shaped by the what you've been focusing on, which is men's issue. First, before that, let me ask, how do you get into this like focus on men in what you do?
Yeah, it's kind of a deeper question, but I'll summarize it by saying this. I've had a lot of brokenness in my past, and as that brokenness was being healed and in the process of healing, I really just started to have a vision for helping other men to be able to experience the same victory as I've experienced. Mm-hmm. So it's that the burden that I had and then the healing that happened subsequently, and now that is the fuel. And you know, have an opportunity many times to help men over and over and over, even emailing this morning to help another guy to kind of be centered and to grow as a man.
Okay. So tell people who might not be familiar with you or your podcast about your podcast, just so they can understand, you know, your perspective and where you're coming from and, you know, what they could listen to on yours.
Yeah. Awesome. You know, I've had many authors. I've also had a wide ranging number of Navy SEALs. I am looking for really any type of guest who could help men to become great, and specifically to become great by growing into four different categories. Either they would grow into greatness spiritually, physically, relationally, or intellectually. So that's really where I center. That's the four pillars of my work. And all of my guests have some element of those. And I am a Christian, but yet I've also had non-Christians on the show because there's a lot of things we can learn from a lot of different people. So I believe that we can, you know, that we can all learn from one another. And then when we get their information and distill it down into some practices, we become great.
Yeah. And so I think that's part of the extra overlap in our perspectives is that Christian element. I don't say this is the Christian leadership show. Mine's called The Leader Smith. Smith, the idea behind that is, I'm not saying I'm the greatest leader, but I can help you become a better leader. And yeah, that's everything that we're talking about. But I have a very obviously Christian-oriented or Christian influenced perspective, and that's going to bleed through. It's going to leak out of me whether I mean it to or not. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I just put that right up front. That's just who I am. And so that's going to lend to the way that I see leadership. And it's, I'm sure, lending to the way that you deal with men's ministry and with, you know, how you see leadership as a consequence. Tell me just in broad strokes, how you think about leadership.
To me, leadership is inspiring others towards a goal, you know, whatever the goal may be. So it's inspiring others towards a goal. And part of that is the inspiration is also equipping, but it's inspiring others towards a goal. And to me, the goal when I work with men is I really want to talk about what their goal is. What is it that they want to achieve? And I love this philosophical framework from Dallas Willard. It's VIM, vision, intention, means. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of my work and just speaking to men and helping them and leading them in the way that they would like to be led is through that lens. Vision, what is it that you want to accomplish? Intention, what is it that you want to accomplish, or who do you want to be in the middle of this? And then the means is, you know, as the word implies, like, what do you have around you, or what could you have around you to help you to grow to reach that vision? Mm-hmm. And And the point about intention is it really gets to desire. You know, it gets to, again, a deeply philosophical idea. It's like, what is the desire? So if a man, if I'm going to help him and kind of be the leader of him on that journey, I realize that it's only for a short amount of time for the most part. So what is it that he wants to achieve? And also, I help to get to that point of desire. What is it that you intend to do? I use this illustration, Darren. It's if a guy says, I really want to go to, I want to lose 20 pounds and I want to have six pack abs because here's the intention. Because when I go to the, when I go to the beach, you know, I want to look good and I want people to look at me. I'm going to look at a guy and say to a guy, I'm like, that's not real your desire. Like, I get it. Okay. Your vision, you want to do this. You want six pack abs. It's, it could be good or bad, but yet what your intention is to have people look at you, you're not going to become a great man in that way. Mm-hmm. That's going to be self-serving. It's ultimately going to lead to a path of self-loathing. So I would help a man to lead and inspire them to become great. And the way that I define greatness through the lens of leadership is in service to others. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it sounds, had they said, because I want to be here to walk my child down the aisle, that yes. That would be a very different kind of motivation. And there's mm-hmm. something that, you know, will have some stick-to-itiveness that, you know, six-pack abs on the beach is not exactly the same thing.
Exactly right.
Okay, so tell me, and this is why I wanted to reach out to you to begin with, to have you come mm-hmm. on the show, is... I want to hear what you learned about leadership as you were developing the podcast. That's part one. As you were doing this, because you've been in this for a while now, right? How yeah. many episodes do you have?
I think I just released 43, some solo cast and a lot of guests.
Yeah. And so as you're going through this, you're picking up some lessons about this and you're learning as you go. It's almost like a small scale entrepreneurial exercise. I mean, it's very like a low risk. I mean, all you have to do is just do it. And if people don't like it, okay, you're not harmed. You're not mortgaging your house or anything like that. So
right.
It's a small scale entrepreneurial exercise, but you learn things along the way. At least I have. And every podcaster I know has learned things along the way. Mm-hmm. So what do you learn about leadership in the process? And then the second one is, I want to know what you learned from guests and people that you've interacted with along the way about leadership.
Those two things are kind of intertwined for me. I would think the biggest thing that I've learned about leadership through podcasting is self-governing and self-leadership. I can be a black or white, all or nothing, 100 miles an hour or zero. Like, I just see the world in that way. And I run at things really hard. And then what I've learned through this process is, because this isn't my full-time job, mm-hmm. So I realize is, okay, I need to self-govern. I need to self-regulate. I need, there's going to be times where I can run, but I also have to rest. And I started the podcast right at the beginning of the year, and then COVID hit, which gave me an opportunity to where things were shut down. I had an abundance of guests, but yet what I learned really, really quickly is I had all these guests who were saying, yeah, I'll be on the show, I'd love to be on the show. And I was booking three guests a week. Well, many of those, I was actually reviewing and reading a book, like with a critical review type of a book. I know that you're in the academic world, you understand what I'm saying. So it's like, it's deeper than just reading it for some sort of self-help intake. It was literally through a critical lens. So it was taking a lot of time, and I was crushing it, but it was crushing me, you know? So then I really started to learn the value of self-leadership and limits and saying, it's okay. It's okay to put a guy on a, you know, a guest. I've only had guys so far, but, you know, to put a guy out on a 4-week window, like, that's fine, you know, and it's okay to do that because I want it to be the best version of myself when I'm sitting on the other side of the screen.
Yeah. It strikes me as you were talking, D Hawk from Visa said that 50% of leadership should be self-leadership.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, if you can master, and there's scripture that supports that too, right? I mean, mm-hmm. better to rule yourself than to take a city. Mm-hmm. Same kind of concept. And when you're doing this kind of activity, you've got to like it. I mean, if you're dragging yourself to the podcast, you're not going to enjoy it, and they're not going to enjoy it. I get kicks and giggles out of doing this, because it's kind of stuff I would talk in class. Last night I was teaching my class, and we were talking about like intrinsic motivation. If I won, I said this last night, if I won the lottery, I'd be here next week because I enjoy this part. Now I might pay somebody to do the grading because I don't like grading, right? But I would be in class next week, because right. And so you have to know yourself and be okay. So what else have you learned from the process of doing this? Like, this will find your weak spots. Any kind of entrepreneurial venture will find your weak spots, yeah. Right? So what would you say, like, I excel in, and what did you not? Like for me, I have like the inverse of what most podcasters do. They want to get out there and they got the technical stuff done, but they don't have a lot to say necessarily, right? I can talk. I mean, this is what I do for a living, but I have no idea about the marketing so I'm learning everything on a steep curve. What about you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I am too. It's like anybody can go out. This microphone that I have in front of me right now, I think it's called a Blue Yeti. Anybody can go buy a Blue Yeti on Amazon, right? It's about $125. Oh, there you go. Anybody can do that. It doesn't make you a podcaster. It certainly won't make you a good one. You know, you can buy the spit screen here. You can buy that for 10 or 15 bucks that clips onto it. No big deal. What I found is I have to basically create a lot of systems to help the process. So for me, I've got an email, like a pitch email. So before I had to make the pitch email. Every time that I would ask a guest, I would always go through and I would say, oh my goodness, how am I going to word this? And I'm not one of those people who likes to send emails. As a matter of fact, I hate sending emails. I'm not, when it comes to organization, I can be organized, but it kind of cuts against the grain of me. So for me, I've had to create a lot of tiny habits, and I haven't read the book yet, but I know that's the title of a good book. And Atomic Habits, you know, I know is another one. But what I've had to do is create these little systems that help me. That way, if I'm going to send an email, that I don't have to overcome that, I've got to send an email. Instead, I just go into my Evernote. So there's one of my hacks. I use Evernote. I use Slack. I use Trello. I've got list upon list, apps on my phone. I've got checklists going through. So if it's a guest, if I want to have a guest on the show, I've got a pitch email. I've got the same thing for Instagram. I've got the same thing for LinkedIn. But I created that. And then what that does is that helps me in areas that I'm not necessarily strong in. And here's an example. Here's a great thing that I've learned while in podcasting. I read a book. I was actually someone who I had talked with and kind of thought they'd be on the podcast. I had about a 30-minute conversation with him. And he told me, I basically pitched him with where I am. And he said, man, you need to read the book Rocket Fuel. So I was like, okay, Rocket Fuel. Like, what's the premise? He said, the premise is this. He says, there's two different types of people in the world. There's two different types of people in entrepreneurship and in podcasting and in the business world. He said, there's the vision, basically the person carrying the vision. And then there's an integrator. He said, you are dying because you're the visionary and you're being forced to be the integrator. He said, so you need to either find somebody who is an integrator, or what you need to do is you need to basically do something to make it easier to integrate. Because how I explained it to him, he said, what are the current struggles you have in podcasting, just business, you know, entrepreneurship, and even in the church work that I do? And so I kind of pitched the idea. I said, it's like this. I said, I feel like I'm building a scaffolding. I see the top, you know, I can see where we're going. I see the vision of the top of the skyscraper, but I'm standing on a scaffolding. But the problem is I'm actually putting the scaffolding together while I'm doing the work. So every time that I go to do the work and go any higher, I have to reach down to grab the scaffolding, which then I lose sight of the vision, the thing that I'm building to begin with.
Yeah. So, you know, you're all over it. And what you just said, that's worth the episode right there. If we just stopped right there, that'd be worth it. Okay. So Greenleaf talks about that, like a conceptualizer and an operator. Right. So this is nothing new. This is the same stuff. But it's so true. And as you were talking, I was thinking, well, you know, we think of Walt Disney. Oh, Walt Disney, he's so brilliant, so creative. Mm-hmm. You know, we wouldn't think anything of Walt Disney if there wasn't Roy Disney.
That's exactly right.
Roy was the businessman who held them together while Walt could be off creative geniusing. That is the same problem that Phil Vischer had, he did not have a Roy. And so things collapsed around him because he didn't really get that other person. So there's a reason why most startups, have you ever thought about startups and you're like, there's all these co-founders and mm-hmm. there's not so many founders as co-founders. And there's a reason for that, because you have the conceptualizer and the operator, and that's incredibly wise for you to recognize that. I'm in the same kind of place, but it's just because I enjoy talking about, you know, maybe I just like hearing myself talk or something. I don't know, maybe that's it. But I really enjoy this. I do a series called, I call Twitter Tuesday. And what I do on Tuesday, I just go out to Twitter, find really thing, you know, interesting quotes that I like out there, and then I just ramble about them because I find it really interesting and exciting. Mm-hmm. So there's passion, but you know, editing stuff and posting it and you know, doing all the other work, I don't find that as enjoyable. Mm-hmm. And finding that operator to go with the conceptualizer is a huge key to leadership. I'm glad you identified it. What else popped out to you?
Yeah, that was a huge thing. And that was a little bit disconcerting actually at first, because I was like, well, I don't have one of those. What am I going to do? You know, I am the vision. You know, honestly, it put me to a crisis point, because then I had to decide, am I even going to keep doing this? Because in essence, the advice he gave me is, you're going to burn out and be frustrated if you don't find someone who's either going to integrate or also if you don't find like little go arounds. Mm-hmm. So then the apps, and like I said, then the little pitch phrases. So I'm not having to come up with all this wording. I love wording. I love phrasing. I love speaking. I love communicating. But yet when it comes down to the corporate business, that kind of stuff, it's really just kind of grinds on me. Another thing that I have, I still battle with every once in a while, if I'm honest, is I don't like to be told no. So I would always set my sights really low in podcasting. So I would tell people this kind of cliche phrase. I'm sure you've heard it. I said, and I tell my kids this too. I've got a 17-year-old and a 24-year-old. They're probably so sick of hearing this. I tell them, I said, shoot for the stars. If you don't hit the stars, if you hit the moon, that's still pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean it. But yet I've had to kind of take my own advice. And it was actually my wife who came up to me, and I was just really kind of laboring. I've had a couple of people tell me no, and I was, and they weren't like huge, you know, Joe Rogan-ish type people, but not even in that caliber, nor was I even trying. But it was probably people a little bit above where I was. And my wife told me, she said this phrase, and this put away any sort of self-doubt, any attempt at self-loathing, or to even kind of, you know, feel guilt or shame or whatever because somebody telling me no, because I tend to be a people pleaser. Mm-hmm. And so what she told me was, just hit send.
Yeah, you know, that's great advice. I mean, action is where it all comes down to action. You can think about it all day long, but if you just don't act, nothing happens. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that helped me a lot. And
okay.
And I owe that to her.
So let me shift gears, and mm-hmm. what have you learned from guests? Or so I was asking you about leadership, because to attract, you know, people that will come on the show, or to attract people who will listen to what your message is, mm-hmm. that's leadership. I mean, it is. It's a different form. It's influencing rather than, mm-hmm. you know, organizational type of leadership, but it's still leadership. Now tell mm-hmm. me what you learned from guests on the show about leadership. Anything specific?
Yeah, what I've really learned a lot from the guest is the value of taking care of my body. Mm-hmm. And so because of, and it's always one of those things, I always knew that I should be doing it. And I've always worked out and done those types of things. But one of the things that I've really learned is the value of taking care of my body, to really know that what I put into my body is, you know, that my body is going to perform based off of what I put into it. So that was one of the really early things. And everybody kept talking about drink water in the morning, drink water in the morning. I was like, my coffee has water? Like, you know, so, but they did that. And that seems so, maybe that seems so petty until you look at all of the benefits of actually consuming water.
But isn't you know? That interesting how that lined up? Like people that you bring on that you brought them on because they're successful people. They're leaders in their own right, or they have some message, or they're doing something, and they all keep saying, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. Well, at a certain point, you think, maybe I ought to do that.
Yes. Yeah. And really one of the early lessons, and I heard this over and over and over from people who were Christians or people who were not Christians, they would talk about morning routine. Mm-hmm. And in the process of talking about a morning routine, I started to think of, it was just one of those things, oh, I know that I should, you know, mm-hmm. or I did have a morning routine that if I got tired, I kind of slept it off. And so that is still a battle. I'm doing better than I was. I'm actually in day, I don't know, 13 or 14 of something called 75 Hard. It was made popular and famous by Andy Frazilla. But part of that is working out twice a day, one of which has twice a day, 45 minutes each workout. They can't be together, but 45 minutes, and one of them has to be in, at least one of them has to be outside. So for me, Here's the morning routine, because I've been developing a morning routine now for 6-7 months and not perfecting it by any means, but getting better at it. It wasn't so much of a leap. Now, like this morning, I got up at 6 o'clock and I went outside and had a 45 minute basically walk, stretch, and did some ab work outside. Yesterday, I went and ran in the morning because, again, it's time management and it's a matter of governing myself.
Yeah, I'm smiling because when you were talking about this, the book that popped into my head was Daily Rituals by Mason Curry. Mm. And he goes and he decided rather than to write what he was supposed to be writing, he would just start reading about famous writers and celebrities, not so much celebrities, but like playwrights, writers, people that are in, you know, the creative space and what they mm-hmm. do. And they have very predictable routines. Now, they're not all exactly the same, but you do start to see a shot group. And one of those was going for a walk in the afternoon. Well, mm-hmm. walking, there's something about just going for a walk that just clears your head. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is, but there, I mean, and you see it again and again and again. I mean, that book by Mason Curry is I'd highly recommend. Okay, anything else that was, you know, a clear, like, okay, so exercise, mm-hmm. And what else grabbed you as a leadership lesson?
Some of the virtues. Now, I'm not really steeped in stoicism, nor am I a stoic, but many of the people who I've had on were very much stoic in their ideals and specifically in their virtues. Mm-hmm. So what I've really been able to see and learn is connecting some of those stoic virtues to Christian virtues. Oh. And really, one of the things that's really helped me a lot and that I've learned is integrity. Now, this shapes the way that I lead, whether it's at the church or whether it's I lead myself or whether I lead in my home or through a New Kind of Man or the New Kind of Man podcast. It's a matter of integrity. Doing what it is you said you were going to do. So if I say I'm going to show up on this given day, or if I'm going to do this, or if I'm going to give you this measurable or an immeasurable, whatever it is, if I say that I'm going to do it, be a person of integrity. And this was, it was brought in really by a bunch of people who were very stoic minded, you know, kind of rooted in Aristotle and some of the writings and all that from stoicism. And really it has helped to inform my faith and also my leadership to make sure my integrity shines out. And that, I don't think it's the highest virtue. I think humility is, I love what Andrew Murray said. He says, humility is the virtue of which every other virtue hangs.
Yep.
So
yeah, it's astonishing how much pride is the enemy of all things mm-hmm. when you read the Proverbs. So right. There's something about humility, the pride, hubris, cutting yourself off from feedback, all bad. Mm-hmm. And humility is the antidote for that. And you're absolutely onto something. So many leaders get destroyed because of pride. Mm-hmm. And the higher they go, the more susceptible they are to that. And humility is the antidote. So you're absolutely right.
One of the things I need to learn better, truthfully, about leadership is I need to learn better how to create feedback loops, mm-hmm. honest feedback loops. And I know that's a huge part of leadership and management is to not just be the guy or the woman at the top. So therefore, you know, everybody props you up. I want to make sure that I have good feedback loops, people's voices who aren't nags, but yet people who will tell me the truth, yeah. whether it's about the podcast or if I didn't measure up in an area, if I didn't deliver, you know, like I said that I was going to, or if I maybe said something that came across a little crass, you know, I want these type of people who would give me the feedback that I need.
And nobody likes to hear that something's not right, but right, wounds from a friend can be trusted. So that's exactly, that's brilliant that you're thinking that way. Okay, so here we're about running out of time here. If you could boil down, if you could have people take just one thing away from you, from your show, from your message, from your life, whatever it is, I mean, you, summarize you succinctly. What's that one thing that you want them to take away from you?
What I would want them to take away from me is become the best version of yourself. And the only way that I believe that you can become the best version of yourself is if you lead yourself spiritually, relationally, physically, and intellectually.
That's good advice. Thank you for coming on. I always close each of my episodes with a quotation for contemplation. Mm-hmm. And the one that jumped out to me when I was thinking about this interview was this by Seth Godin. He said, "Leadership is the art of giving people a platform for spreading ideas that work." By that definition, you are clearly a leader. It's, again, it's not organizational leadership, organizational or political or whatever, but influencing in the way that you are. There are people that you will never know that you have affected in a significant way because they're not necessarily giving you that feedback, but they're listening. They're out there. They're being ministered to. And another word that grabbed me earlier as you were talking, describing yourself and what you were doing is redemptive. And and there's this redemptive quality in what you're trying to accomplish by reaching out to these guys where they are and saying, no, there's a better way. And everything that we're supposed to be doing in this world is redemptive, redeeming that which is not where it should be at the most basic level, whether it's just depraved and fallen into sin theologically, or whether it's just not where it could be and it needs to be optimized from a kind of management point of view. But the whole idea there is redemptive. And again, the quote is this again, "Leadership is the art of giving people a platform for spreading ideas that work." And hey, I think you're doing that. Thank you so much for coming on the Leadersmith podcast. And I'm really grateful that you were willing to do that.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, and I wish you all the best. I appreciate your podcast too. Actually, I used your podcast here recently, so I recommend guys tune in episode by episode. There's a lot that we can learn from your years of experience, and also I love how condensed that your podcasts are. You get it in bite-sized pieces. You get that big idea, and you put it into practice. Love it.
Well, thanks again.